Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, I don't know if other teams don't call it the peanut punch just because they're, you know, not being from here. Oh, Jesus. I can't get away from it. You're unbelievable. The punch. So they might call it the punch, so maybe we should call it that. But we emphasize it. Coach Chuck and those guys emphasize turnovers all the time. It's not just the punch, but it's also being able to take the ball away.
It's the peanut punch, period.
Yeah, I didn't get what that was.
It's the peanut punch.
I was in the room, and I didn't understand what that was all about.
No, you heard him at the seventh inning stretch when he says peanuts. He has the Dutch Pennsylvania accent, and he says it's peanuts.
Oh, okay.
Peanuts.
Yeah. What did he say?
I got you.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's still the peanuts punch.
Yes. Yeah, whatever you say. Peanuts or penis is either one is a punch.
We are visiting with you on the stream here at 670 The Score on the Sportsbook at America Star pregame show. It's Bears-Vikings in just about half an hour. We're going to be joined shortly by our buddy Dan Pompey, who checks in with us. We got Dan now? Okay, I guess we have Dan with us now. And Dan, welcome into the program. I'm guessing that, I don't know if you're in the press box or working from home, but you're probably trying to absorb the news in the same way that we all are. The Bears injury list forget how healthy they were last year. Even in the banged up years of 2017, 2016, it's hard to remember a game they went into missing as many critical pieces as they will today with Gabriel, Long, Nichols, Hicks, and now Roquan Smith all down.
Well, and Hub, you know, you look at the concentration of injuries up the middle of the defense against a team that has been the best in the league at running the football. So I think it's happening at the worst possible time. I think it's a problem for the Bears. I really do. I mean, what makes their run defense so good? I think you'd say there are four key players to it in no particular order. They're Eddie Goldman, Danny Trevathan, Akeem Hicks, and Roquan Smith, and now you lost half of them. And, you're going against a team that has the mentality that the only way they believe they could beat the Bears, I think, is to run the football all day and to try to, create an advantage in time of possession and kind of win a slugfest. And so the Bears are going to need some of their backups to step up today and try to play like superstars. But, I mean, you know, you're talking about two players in Hicks and Smith who are difference makers, and you just can't create what they bring to a defense.
Yeah, you know, Dan, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking we were talking earlier that, yeah, their defense is elite. Akeem Hicks goes out. Roquan Smith goes out, but you're still looking at Mac Floyd, Eddie Goldman, Trevathan, and Eddie Jackson, right? So as worried as I am about this run game, I'm still more worried about our offense versus the Minnesota Vikings defense. And a thing that I was thinking about this week, and I'm wondering what you think about it, was I know Mitch Trubisky is young, and how long should we wait before we have a final decision on him? It seems to be a big argument. How many games should he play? I think what people forget is that Coach Nagy is only on his 27th or 28th game of calling plays, right? Because he only called plays for five or six games in Kansas City last year and now this year. Maybe they're both growing together in this system, and that's something to watch for. I was wondering what you thought about that.
Yeah, I think there's no question. That's a factor. You know, you're talking about two men who are inexperienced at what they're doing, and you know, they're still figuring it out. They're still figuring out how to work together and how to work together with all the pieces around them. And I think, if Mitch plays more like he did against the Redskins and less like he did against the Packers and Broncos, you're going to have a lot more patience with him. And the other thing is, even if he's not playing great, even if he's struggling a little bit the way he did against Denver, if the Bears are winning the game, you know, you could live with that. And the other factor you have is, you know, what's your option? I mean, are you talking about benching this guy at some time and putting in Chase Daniels? Because, you know, that probably isn't the most appealing option either for the long term. I mean, I think he's a good backup, and he's a guy who could get you through a game and get you through a short period of time. But I don't know that he's a guy that you want starting 8 or 9 games in a row and trying to lead you to the playoff victory. So, you know, Mitch is the guy you got to ride with, and you just have to hope that he continues to play like he did last week.
To piggyback on that a little bit, last week Matt Nagy kind of changed up the way he called the offense. The Washington Redskins was a team that just kind of lines up and shows you where they're at. So Matt Nagy had them line up quick and then sat in Mitch's headset until, you know, 15 seconds as soon as that thing turns off. What was your thoughts on that game plan? And then is that something you could see maybe going forward and using? Or is it a little bit of an indictment on Mitch where he kind of took took his eyes away from him?
I know people were talking about that. You know, is it an indictment on Mitch? You know, to me, it doesn't matter. I think what was important was they did what was smart in order to take advantage of what they do best, or what some of their own vulnerabilities were, and what the Redskins were showing, and also what their vulnerabilities were. You know, you were going against a shorthanded defense last week. And I thought the coaches did a good job in putting together a game plan that made sense and play calls that made sense. You know, whether or not you can use that particular philosophy moving forward, I think, is going to depend on the individual circumstances of the opponent and the game. But certainly I don't think it's something that they should dismiss entirely moving forward, because, you know, if you find yourself in a position where you can take advantage of some things with that, I mean, let's not be too proud and say that, you know, Mitch is above that, because he's not. The team is not above that, and I don't think any team should be above that.
Dan, I'm with you, and I agree with you on that, but I want in time my quarterback to be one that doesn't need that. And, Hub, I'd love to get your thoughts on that question as well, of what you thought about that game plan of them maybe trying to use it going forward, and does Mitch need to graduate from that?
You know, Pat and Dan, I wrote, I forget exactly when, but I know it was between week 1 and week 2, my concern that maybe the biggest problem with Mitch Trubisky is it's time for the Bears to let Mitch be Mitch and find out what this guy can do. Athletically, other than Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson, I am hard-pressed to find a quarterback in the league with more different tools. He doesn't have unique arm talent, but he's got enough arm, and we've seen what he can do running the football. Now, I'm not saying I want him to run the football more, but I just worry with some of the stuff that we've seen since, the faux pas, whatever it was, where he said, I'm not allowed to talk about that. And everybody immediately said, well, what's going on there? And then a couple days later, somebody said something, and they said, well, maybe he's just a baby or whatever. I mean, Dan, at some point, you got to let this guy go, and you got to let him make whatever mistakes he's going to make, but see if he can overcome those with the big plays that are available to you when you do that. Because, you know, we keep hearing he's not reading coverages, he can't throw the ball down the field. Well, maybe he's not, but obviously they're not letting him try and do it too much either.
Well, I think you're probably looking at a situation where you give him a little bit of rope and you see how he does with it. And if he shows that he can handle whatever it is you're allowing him to do, you give him more. And I think we saw some of that last game. You know, I think he was asked to do some things in that game that maybe he wasn't asked to do, certainly in the Denver game. And you know, I think ultimately, though, you have to keep in mind that the goal of every game plan has to be to win the game. I mean, this is a team that's ready to win now. And I don't think you would ever want to sacrifice the possibility of a victory over the development of a player right now, because, you know, you have too much at stake with this team being as good as it is to allow that to screw things up.
All right, let's flip it over to the defense that Mitch Trubisky is going to face, the Vikings defense. They are very good, and they've got a lot of great players on that defense, just like the Bears do. How would you compare their defense to the Bears defense?
Yeah, very similar, Pat. As you guys well know, you know, I think they've got big play guys who can make game-changing plays, certainly like Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin. You know, they've got one of the best safeties in the game, Harrison Smith. I think the Bears defense has more potential for takeaways than the Vikings defense, but I think the Vikings defense is very, very solid. You know, at every level, like the Bears, they've got playmakers at every level, like the Bears, and you know, it's clearly one of the best defenses in the NFL. So it would run very well by Mike Zimmer. You know, a guy who's got a long history of putting out really good defenses in the NFL and knowing which buttons to push and when to push them. So it's going to be a really real challenge. And, you know, Mitch has not had success statistically against this defense in the past. I think his passer rating against the Vikings is something like 69. But, again, they found a way to beat the Vikings, too, because they've done things on the defensive side of the ball and in other areas to make up for whatever they have lacked at the quarterback position. And, you know, even if Mitch does not perform well for most of the game, doesn't make the plays, but is able to make a key play or two, you know, sometimes that's all they need.
You know, Dan, I wonder if maybe the key today couldn't be an area where I think the Bears have a pretty clear edge. They made a big commitment during the offseason, both in the draft and free agency, to their special teams. And, you know, you can't control whether teams are going to kick the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson or not. But, you know, in addition to Patterson, you look at Tariq Cohn, who is the first-team All-Pro punt returner, and they haven't gotten much out of their return game. And you have to think, with all the challenges they're facing here, that maybe they're going to need a big play from those special teams to try and make a difference here as well.
Yeah, great point, Hub. I actually thought about that earlier this week that, you know, I think the Bears are going to need something and have the potential to get something from their special teams this week. And I think now, you know, with knowing more about the injury list, that it's probably more critical than ever that they make a big play on special teams. Certainly, you know, a takeaway or, you know, a defensive score would be huge in this game as well. But I think they have an opportunity on special teams. Of course, you know, the Vikings have struggled at the kicker position, as have the Bears. So that's going to be another little interesting subplot to see if we've got missed field goals or missed extra points and how that plays into, you know, the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree with Hub that it's the special teams unit, if you look across the roster, should be a strength, and they just haven't got it done yet. And I want to see Tariq Cohen get going. This is a game especially that you're going to have to make a play. You're going to have to put the offense in better field position, a shorter field, to score some points. And I agree with you about Dan Bailey. I think he went 2-for-1 against the Packers and missed an extra point, and that was outside on, you know, regular grass. So we'll see what Soldier Field is like today with this weather. But I expect – another thing I expect is possibly Chris Tabor to come after the punt team. You're going to try to have to steal a possession, maybe go try to, you know, run a punt block instead of really setting up Tariq Cohen because you need to steal a possession. We'll see, and I'm sure the situation in the game will dictate that. But I do think this is a game, especially with all these injuries, that the special teams has to step up and make a difference and make a play. And with all that said, I want to go back to the Bears offense and talk about Kyle Long for a minute. I know he's out of the game with an injury, but I would love to get your thoughts on his play for the first 3 weeks. And is this something that, you know, if this injury lingers and he has to continue playing through it, do you bench him? Do you keep Ted Larson in? And is maybe this Ted Larson's, you know, his show and to show off to see if he can get the starting spot?
Yeah, well, Kyle clearly struggled, especially last week against Washington. Did not play well at all. What we don't know is how much that was attributable to his injury. And, you know, how his lack of health played into his performance. So I would think, you know, that we should probably give him the benefit of the doubt there, but we don't know. We don't know what was going on in his body, and, you know, that's probably information that only him and the trainers and maybe some of the coaches really know. But certainly, you know, any time a player gets hurt, it's always an opportunity for the backup to show that he belongs. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Larson does today against the good defensive front with Minnesota and to see if he can try to make a bid to unseat Kyle.
You know, there are so many things that have changed in the last 48 hours. I got to believe that whether Matt Nagy likes running the football or not, he had to know, because they had a pretty good idea that Akeem Hicks wasn't going to go, that the defense was already without Bilal Nichols, that they want to shorten the game. It's a good game plan against Minnesota anyway, so maybe this is a game where you try and come in and run the ball more. But then because of the injuries on the defensive line, I think that's probably why they – I never believed Brad Sowell was gone, but I think that's why they brought him back this week, to have extra options in their 12 personnel, extra blockers up there. But then they have to go let him go in order to create a spot for Jonathan Harris because of the problems on the defensive line. And so now Kareth White isn't active. Not that Kareth White had been active on Sunday anyway, but with Mike Davis out on a personal day, you may want to run the football today and control the clock. You've only got two running backs, and one of them is Tariq Cohn. You know, I don't know what David Montgomery can do, but I don't think you're going to give him 30 carries. And so, you know, Cordero Patterson becomes a big part of it, you know, and what he can give you in the running game. But it seems like all the things they might want to do to overcome some of these injury issues, they're blocked because of other realities they've had to deal with roster-wise.
Yeah, good point. You know, I think, though, that one of the things that the Bears do pretty well is use the, you know, the short passing game and the screen game as an extension of the run game. And I would expect that there would be probably a lot of that today. You know, if Mitch has a bunch of passes, I think the hope anyway of Matt Nagy going in would be that a lot of those passes would probably be of the short variety, of the screen pass variety. That he'd be able to get the ball to people like Cohen and Patterson and Miller, you know, in that way. And, you know, that would help get them going in terms of, you know, not always having to hand the ball off, especially if the Vikings are keying on that, but giving them a little something to get yards outside the tackle box as well.
All right, Dan, we got Roquan Smith being inactive late, and I'm sure you thought about, you know, how this game was going to go the entire week, and I thought he was going to have to be a big player in this game with Akeem Hicks being out. I think we all kind of agree that Akeem Hicks was probably not going to play. How do you see this game going? What's going to happen? You know, there's been a lot of changes happening here just a couple minutes before the game again.
Yeah, you know, earlier in the week, I had to make my pick for The Athletic and for Pro Football Weekly and a couple other things, and I picked the Bears to win a close, low-scoring game, but I think I'm waffling now. I think that after seeing these guys on the injury report, I was kind of under the impression during the week that Akeem was going to be okay based on what was said earlier in the week that, you know, it didn't look like a big deal. I was kind of thinking that he was going to play. Now things are looking different, so you know, I think it's such a close matchup between these teams that, you know, they are they're so similar and so evenly matched that this very well could be the difference. Like I said, you take out two difference-making players, guys who shift the field, in my opinion, and I think that that could be the difference. I've got I'll take a Vikings win, low-scoring game. Let's say 17-13.
All right, if you're Chuck Pagano, though, and you had to sit down, this is just a random question, sit down Roquan Smith or Akeem Hicks, which one's more important to you?
That's a great question.
I have an answer to that. Go ahead. I was just thinking about this. Yeah. To me, there's a pretty easy answer, Dan, but I'm curious what you're going to say.
Well, you know, I would say I would rather do without Roquan than Akeem, because to me, Akeem is able to draw so much attention and create opportunities for other players. You know, he's a guy who I think wrecks a lot of plays even when he doesn't show up on the statistics sheet. But I think, you know, and the other thing is too, they are without Nichols. So, you know, you're down a player already up front. So now you take him out as well. And I think, you know, the loss could be even worse. What were your thoughts on it, Hobbs?
Well, what's really interesting to me about this is in almost any other situation, I would agree with you. But in this particular situation, I think the only way the Vikings beat the Bears is with Dalvin Cook. And to me, Roquan Smith is a more important answer to Dalvin Cook than, I mean, not that Akeem Hicks isn't a huge part of everything but if ever there was a game where I needed Roquan Smith to give me 10, 12 tackles, this was it.
I agree with that as well, but there isn't a right answer because Akeem can also just disrupt the entire line of scrimmage and cause Dalvin Cook to cut back when he shouldn't cut back or, you know, bubble out a little bit. And that makes Nick Kwiatkowski faster to get to the ball because he's taking longer to get to the zone that he's going to read off of. So I don't know. This game is an interesting one just because of the way the Vikings run the ball.
Well, the other thing too, you know, Akeem obviously is a greater impact against the passing game whenever, you know, we're just only focused on the run game, but you know, there's going to be some big pass play opportunities for the Vikings in this game anyway. And certainly Akeem has shown that he can get after the passer and create problems that way too, and draw attention, and that helps free up other pass rushers.
All righty, Dan, we're going to cut you loose. Go get ready for the ball game. That is Dan Pompey, of course, one of our partners, joins us on every Sportsbook and Ameristar pregame show here at 670 The Score. We're going to take one very quick break to take a breather. Pat and I will be back with our predictions for Bears-Vikings in just a moment right here at 670thescore.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They're good, man. I mean, I think they've played together 8 years, all those guys collectively, 6 to 8 years, something like that. So, I mean, just that in general, just that alone, you know, makes you a good defense. And then add the freaks that they have in the D-line and, you know, Harrison Smith and the linebackers, you know, corners, all that. I mean, it just makes them that good.
Chicago Bears tight end Trey Burton talking about this Minnesota team that has been together for some time now, personnel-wise, here on the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show on 670thescore.com. I am Hub Arkish along with Patrick Manley. Olin Kreutz, as he has to each week, steps out a few minutes early so he can get over to some TV duties at NBC Sports. But we've got a couple minutes left here. Watch the fascinating game in Buffalo between the Patriots and the Bills. It is clear that losing four different starters on the offensive line to injury has caught up with the New England Patriots. They are winning 16-10 in Buffalo with 3:28 to play, and they have the ball, but it has been a struggle, and it is not over yet. A lot of other interesting stuff going on as well. The Chiefs, all they can handle with the Lions in Detroit as they lead 27-23. But the Lions have the ball 2nd and 6 deep in the Chiefs' red zone. That's the best I can get from my computer at the moment. Oakland has been handling Indy all day long, 31, but now 31-24. And Indianapolis has the ball 4th and 6 at the Oakland 48. We've got a number of other finals for you here. So far today, it starts with Tennessee pounding the Falcons in Atlanta, 24-10. Cleveland put a beating on Baltimore in Baltimore, 40-25.
That one's a little shocking.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming either.
No, I did not see that one coming at all.
The one I really didn't see coming, but good for Chico. Carolina beats Houston in Houston, 16-10. Chargers, 30-10 over the Dolphins. No surprise there. And Daniel Jones and the Giants, no trouble with Washington, 24-3. I would keep an eye on Jay Gruden's job at this point. That does not look like it's in good shape. Daniel Jones looks like the real deal. We always kid about our alma maters and alums and whatever. But I don't care where he played. He looks like he can play quarterback in the NFL.
He looks confident and comfortable. And we saw it last week with that Washington Redskins defense. You know what they are when they line up. So I think it's another good week for Daniel Jones to walk into the NFL seeing what's in front of him. They're not really game planning them. They're just playing two man and man. And so he can kind of dissect that defense a little bit more. But as all rookie quarterbacks get game planned, the defensive coordinators are smart in this league. They're going to try to figure out his weaknesses, and it'll get more difficult for him. But obviously, I'm very, very happy being a Duke alum.
Well, and the other interesting thing to me about that Pat. And you know, people, Dave Gettleman is brash and he can be obnoxious. He's also a really smart football guy, and people don't talk about that enough. He's got a great track record with the Giants, then in Carolina, helped build that Super Bowl team, albeit they lost, but they were 15-1 that year. And now I think he knows exactly what he's doing in New York. And I think the missing link for everybody there is that David Cutcliffe is one of the real quarterback whisperers out there, mm-hmm. has done it at every level, and was Peyton Manning's coach at Tennessee and knew Eli very well, and is the guy who trained Daniel Jones. And I got to believe that there was a lot of dialogue between Gettleman and Cutcliffe, and that's where a lot of Dave Gettleman and Daniel Jones were formed.
And what I saw with that, you know, David Cutcliffe is not going to put his neck out on there for anybody, because he is known as that quarterback whisperer, that quarterback guru. And I do think a lot went into the evaluation went into meetings with David Cutcliffe and saying, what do you think? You've coached two of the greatest. You had Eli at Ole Miss and Peyton at Tennessee. You've seen him. Is he this good? And he had to say yes for them to go get him at number six. And he's proving them right now.
Yeah, I should point out one other note. Now we're going to get back to our picks on the Bears and the Vikings. In this New England Buffalo game, it's been Matt Barkley at quarterback. I didn't even know he was still in the league. He had to come in with about 9 minutes left in the game.
Yes, that Matt Barkley.
Josh Allen went out with a concussion on a helmet-to-helmet hit for which the Patriots were flagged. But in fact, it was Josh Allen running for a first down who lowered his head. The Patriot defender pulled up. They met helmet to helmet. It actually turned out to be offsetting penalties. But the note of importance is that Josh Allen is out with a concussion, and it's Matt Barkley trying to put together a two-minute drive now. They're at the 40, their own 40, and he just hit another one. They're now at the New England 40. Barkley looks pretty good, so we'll keep an eye on that one. But we are going to have to get going here, Pat. I don't know what more we can add to this Bears-Vikings matchup. Dealing with the MASH unit list all day has been interesting. I think we've covered pretty much every angle of it. It is that time where we make picks. And I will tell you, before you make yours, I'll let you go first. I may or may not break my cardinal rule here. Normally, my pick has been in print for a couple days, and you're not allowed to switch. I didn't actually expect Akeem Hicks or Kyle Long to play today, but had no idea about Roquan Smith. And that really changes things. So if anybody wants to change their mind, I think that's more than fair in a situation like what we have today.
That changes my mind completely. Coming into this week, like you said, I figured Akeem Hicks was not going to play. And if he was going to play, it would be in a limited role, so he wouldn't get as many snaps. But I do still think this Bears defense can stop this run. I think their safeties are good enough to limit the big, big plays, and I think there's enough guys on the edges where they do like to run the ball with Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd, that they can hold that up a little bit. But I'm just nervous with Roquan Smith going out. I don't know if they're going to miss his sideline to sideline tackling. That's going to hurt a lot. And then this is a tough one to pick, because I think every time we've been together, I've picked the Bears, so I'm actually going to go the opposite direction today. And we had Mike Brown on earlier today, and he talked about division games and games like these where you think they're going to be like a 7-6 game, and he played in one that was 45-42 or something like that against the Vikings. This might be one of those crazy games, but I do have the Vikings winning. I just think the Bears are too injured right now, up front offensively and all throughout that defense. So I've got the Vikings winning. I'm going to say they're going to win by 7. I don't have a score because I'm going to kind of go with Mike's thought that this might be a division game where both teams have not scored a lot early this year, but this might be one they blow it up.
I should add that Pat and I are both 2-1 picking these games, because we have each picked the Bears the first 3 weeks. And I actually, you know, in the papers, at our website, profootballweekly.com, I picked the Bears 19-17 this week. And all things being equal, felt that this was pretty much a coin toss. And now with Roquan Smith going down, I just didn't see this one coming. But that said, I'm going to avoid the temptation to switch for one reason. The only reason I picked the Bears in the first place is because Kirk Cousins has never won a game like this, and particularly on the road. And the Bears do still have plenty on defense, so I'm not going to lie and tell you I feel good about it. I don't feel good about it at all, because it's still a coin toss. But I'm not picking Kirk Cousins in one of these games until he wins one. So I'm going to stay with the Bears at 19-17. And maybe there's a little wishful thinking in there, Pat, because if they do pull this off, this can mean a lot to this team in a lot of different ways, knowing that they've overcome something like this and still won a football game.
It does. It says a lot to you about your locker room, and it says a lot about just being, like I said, your locker room, being able to come together and overcome the adversity. When you run out of that tunnel and you see Kyle Long in sweats. You see Akeem Hicks in sweats. I'm not even sure if Roquan Smith is there or not, whatever personal reason is. Bilal Nichols in sweats. That's tough because those are your guys that you count on to make plays during a game and make a difference. So this would be a nice statement game for not only the Bears but for the backups and then for going forward, going to Oakland and then having – or not going to Oakland, playing Oakland in London and then having a bye. If you can win these two games with what's going on with these injuries, that gives your time to heal, and then you've only got one loss. That's a good start to the season.
Yeah, and actually, as we say goodbye, the reason that I was pretty sure Akeem Hicks wouldn't play today is because they are good enough to beat the Oakland, although the Oakland Raiders are giving Indianapolis all they can handle.
That's the NFL.
They are good enough to handle Oakland without him, and so now you have the chance to rest that knee for 4 weeks as opposed to 1 week. So I think that's probably what was involved in that decision, but certainly not the rest of it. Again, if you are just joining us, it is official. Joe Maddon will not be the manager of the Chicago Cubs again after today. There also is an interception in the Buffalo game, so it looks like New England is going to hang on and go into victory formation. I've got so many people thank, I don't even know where to start. We want to thank Bruce Levine, first of all, who helped us with our Cubs coverage throughout the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. We also want to give our thanks to Mike Brown, who was
good enough
to
be. That was a lot of fun.
It really is. I'd love to get Mike back again sometime before the year is over. Outstanding visit with Mike Brown. Our thanks to Don Mitchell of Fox 9 up in Minneapolis. Of course, our regulars, we've got Dan Pompey and Mark Grody. Studs, what a job, man. He's handling it all. He's doing
Always
Cubs. He's
does.
Doing Bears. He's got us on the air. He's
New
got
man
us on the
team.
Shane Reardon as well, who came in today, didn't have to, but great job by all. We have the best crew anywhere in radio in town, and we want to give our thanks to all of them for making this happen. Most of all, our thanks to all of you for listening. And don't forget, immediately after the Cubs post game, we'll have Bears post game here with James Big Cat Williams and myself. So get right back to 670 The Score on your radio dial as soon as the Bears are done. Enjoy the game, everybody, and go Bears.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.